Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 32, Entanglement and Fruit of Activities, text 33. Yatendriyai pratagdhara arto bahuganashraya eko nanyayate tadvat bhagavan shastra vachmabhi Yatendriyai prithagdvaraya artho bahuganashraya eko nanyayate tadvat bhagavan shastra vachmabhi Yatendriyai prithagdvaraya artho bahuganashraya Eko nanyayate tadvat Bhagavan Shastra Vachmabhi.
Translation. A single object is appreciated differently by different senses due to its having different qualities. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is one, but according to different scriptural injunctions, he appears to be different. Purport. It appears that by following the path of Jnana Yoga, or empiric philosophical speculation, one reaches the impersonal Brahman, whereas by executing devotional service in Krishna consciousness, one enriches his faith and devotion to the personality of Godhead. But it is stated here that both Bhakti Yoga and Jnana Yoga are meant for reaching the same destination, the personality of Godhead. By the process of Jnana Yoga, the same personality of Godhead appears to be impersonal. As the same object appears to be different when perceived by different senses, the same Supreme Lord appears to be impersonal by mental speculation. A hill appears cloudy from a distance, and one who does not know may speculate that the hill is a cloud. Actually, it is not a cloud, it is a big hill. One has to learn from authority that the sight of a cloud is not actually a cloud, but a hill. If one makes a little more progress, then instead of a cloud, he sees the hill and something green. When one actually approaches the hill, he will see many varieties. Another example is in perceiving milk. When we see milk, we see that it is white. When we taste it, it appears that milk is very palatable. When we touch milk, it appears very cold. When we smell milk, it appears to have a very good flavor. And when we hear, we understand that it is called milk. Perceiving milk with different senses, we say that it is something white, something very delicious, something very aromatic, and so on. Actually, it is milk. Similarly, those who are trying to find the Supreme Godhead by mental speculation may approach the bodily effulgence or the impersonal Brahman, and those who are trying to find the Supreme Godhead by yoga practice may find him as the localized supersoul, but those who are directly trying to approach the Supreme Truth by practice of bhakti yoga can see him face to face as the Supreme Person. Stop there. It's a long purport. Om Agana Chimanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasavi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The past few days we have been talking about seeing Krishna, how that is our basic program. Although, we're not making demands upon the Supreme Lord that he has to reveal himself to us according to our desire. We're focusing on serving Krishna, seeing Krishna through our service. And then when the Lord decides to reveal himself more intimately, he may do so, but we make no demands. Especially since, if we're actually listening to Srimad Bhagavatam, we'll understand we're seeing Krishna already. Therefore, you can breathe a big sigh of relief. You're already seeing God. Reminds me, Srila Prabhupada made an interesting point. Seeing God is not a big problem. The question is, after you see him, what will you do? You're seeing God. Here, you have the Archa Vigraha, the Archa Avatar, the deity incarnation. You're seeing. Now, what will you do? One increases his or her devotional service. That is the point. So, in other words, whether you think you're seeing God or not, one is always thinking, how to increase my service? What is the quality of my service offering? We spoke about how qualification is necessary in order to see. Just like when I came here, I had a problem with my wireless reception for the internet for my laptop. So I was seeing so many things, but I didn't understand what I was seeing. So I called Jagadishananda. Oh, you just do like this, you just do like that, make this adjustment, that adjustment. I don't even have to come there, I'll just tell you over the phone what to do. And then the problem was solved. So we're both apparently looking at the same thing. But he sees differently because he has knowledge. Ordinary example of a mechanic. You can all look at a car, but a mechanic sees differently. He knows how engines work. He can just tell by the sound of the engine what kind of car it is. I remember I was walking in Radadesh in Belgium with our Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj. And we were walking in the parking lot, talking. And all of a sudden, the car stops up. In a split second, Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj says, "Diesel, this type of engine, this size." I was just shocked. I was like, just by hearing the sound for a split second, he could tell you what kind of engine it was, what size the engine was. Then later he explained that his father used to collect antique cars in New Zealand, so he was trained up as a young boy to judge a car by the sound of the engine. Now, you can't do that. But he can, because he's been trained. Similarly, a devotee, just by hearing, seeing, tasting, smelling, feeling anything in relation to Krishna, the devotee remembers Krishna. And as you progress in spiritual life, that remembrance of Krishna becomes so intense. We've been talking about Lord Chaitanya, who, as Krishna himself, wants to show you what happens when you see Krishna everywhere and your love increases. Lord Chaitanya, as you know, represents the pinnacle of love of God. He's taking the position of Srimati Radharani. His self-conception is that sometimes he even thinks he's directly Srimati Radharani. And in that self-conception, he renders service to Lord Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya demonstrates the perfection of how all the senses can be engaged in devotional service. We should understand that our senses are the instruments by which we either finish ourselves or advance ourselves. Our senses are either taking us up or our senses are taking us down. Now, if you just take stock of your senses, you've got your karmendriyas, your working senses. Then you've got your gyanendriyas, your knowledge-acquiring senses. If you do a study of what these senses are doing all day and all night, you'll find out where you're at. And you'll also begin to see what bhakti yoga does for you. Bhakti yoga has something for each of your senses so that you will be absorbed. Your mind will be absorbed and you'll increase in your attachment for Krishna. That's the whole point of what we're doing here. How to increase the feeling for Krishna. Lord Chaitanya would demonstrate this. How day and night he was absorbed in thinking of Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes. Kaviraj Goswami presents how once Lord Chaitanya was resting and he began to dream that he was in Vrindavan. Not only in Vrindavan, but he was at the site of the rasa dance and he saw the gopis surrounding Krishna in a circle, and in the center of the circle there was Krishna dancing with Srimati Radharani. So Lord Chaitanya was dreaming this and caught up in the ecstasy of, now I'm in Vrindavan, now I'm with the Lord in Vrindavan. Then his personal servant, Govinda, noticed he's been sleeping longer than usual. Govinda woke him up. And Lord Chaitanya, coming to some degree of external consciousness, was lamenting, oh, what have you done? Why did you bring me out of Vrindavan? You see, if we serve Krishna very intensely during the day, the chances are that as you mature in spiritual life, you'll start thinking about Krishna at night. Don't become disturbed and dismayed about dreams that indicate your Kali Yuga past. These things will gradually fade. Sometimes men, they are disturbed by certain kinds of dreams at night. I remember Prabhupada just saying right in the middle of the lecture, don't be depressed about it. It will go away. You'll be surprised how the process of bhakti yoga works. Gradually the impressions you're getting during the day of the deities, of the kirtan, of the bhagavatam, of your devotional service will start to crowd your mind and push everything else out. Simply, you have to give some time for this to happen. What's wrong in spending your whole life trying to do this? Why would you give anything less than your whole life for such a glorious goal as becoming Krishna conscious? I was just talking with a young man yesterday, and he was debating, should I go to medical school and try to be a doctor? 8 years, I don't know if I can handle it. So for ordinary things, we'll commit such time and energy. But for Krishna, for Krishna's service, 2 years I've been doing this, it's time for me to consider something else. Why is not Krishna worthy of a lifetime effort for accumulating the divine impressions in our consciousness so that gradually all the other trash in our mind is pushed out and more we're simply thinking of Krishna? The process does work. You ask any older devotee who has sincerely and diligently followed the process, they'll tell you, amazingly enough, you might think, it does work. You just have to invest the time. What's wrong with 30, 40 years in devotional service to get this goal, tolerating the ups and downs? What's wrong with that? Tolerating the impediments of the material world, which are there by definition because you're in the material world. But what's wrong with just going on with your goal to render transcendental loving service to the Lord? But Lord Chaitanya is showing what the ocean of love of Krishna is like. If you can just get one drop of that ocean, as Kaviraj Goswami says, just one drop is enough to drown the whole world. So don't say, oh, who can be like Lord Chaitanya? What's the use in our hearing about Lord Chaitanya? He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's at his level of love of Krishna. How can we ever, we'll never get to anything like that. That's true. Lord Chaitanya is demonstrating Mahabhava, the rarest ecstasy found only in Krishna's dearest devotee, Srimati Radharani. Nevertheless, the Shastra says, although Lord Chaitanya is
submerged in the ocean of love of Krishna, if you just get one drop, that one drop is enough to drown the whole world. So this is what we're trying for with all our might, with our life, just to get one drop of that ocean. Talking about oceans these days is on everyone's mind. Everyone's worried about the waves. We were speaking about it last night. We explained to the people, there are two types of oceans. There is the Bhavasaga, the ocean of repeated birth and death, and the Bhavasaga, the ocean of ecstatic love of Krishna. So you take your pick, what ocean you want to swim in, what waves you want to cope with. Material life means coping with the waves of becoming and unbecoming. Krishna consciousness means splashing in the waves of love of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya is demonstrating how to have a lifestyle of absorption in love of God. The Shastra compares the consciousness of Krishna's dearest devotees, the gopis, to be like high hills. And then there is the Amrita Sindhu, the ocean of pure nectarian love of God. That ocean overfloods the high hills of Krishna's dearest devotees' consciousness. Just like if so many pictures are on newspapers and on television about the big waves and the damage that these waves did. So Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he's describing the big waves of love of Krishna and how these waves flooded the gopis' consciousness, even though their consciousness was like high hills. So this is the food for our senses. And Lord Chaitanya demonstrates how to be alive with your senses in Krishna consciousness. After Govinda woke him up, Lord Chaitanya went to the Jagannath temple. And he was standing, as usual, behind the Garuda Stambha, the column that supports Garuda. It's like you have Garuda here. So in Jagannath temple, there's a column, and Garuda's on top of that column. And Lord Chaitanya would watch the Jagannath deities from behind that column. And there would be thousands of people in front of him. And so what would he be seeing? He would be seeing Lord Jagannath as Sakshat Brajendra Nandana, directly Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda. That was his ecstatic vision of Lord Jagannath. While he's watching it that way, an old woman climbs up the column supporting Garuda, the Garuda Stambha, and then even puts her foot on Lord Chaitanya's shoulder, because she wanted to see Lord Jagannath clearly beyond all the people crowded there. In this way, she actually committed two offenses, very severe offenses at the same time. With her feet, she offended Garuda, the Vaishnav devotee of the Lord, by climbing up his column. And then she put her foot on the shoulder of Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, naturally, Govinda, the Lord's servant, immediately chastised her, told her to get down. To his surprise, though, Lord Chaitanya chastised him. You uncivilized man, what are you doing? Now, is this some kind of cultural etiquette that Lord Chaitanya is objecting, you chastise a woman, or she can do whatever she likes, or... No, it had nothing to do with social concerns. It had nothing to do with cultural considerations. It had nothing to do with male, female, this or that, which one should be in the front, which one should be in the back, which one should be this way, which one should be that way. What did it have anything to do with? Eagerness to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya said, this woman was oblivious, genuinely oblivious to what she was doing. So he didn't take it as an offense. She was so eager to see Lord Jagannath that she did this.
Oh, if only I had such eagerness to see Lord Jagannath. She has her body, mind, and intelligence completely absorbed in Lord Jagannath. I am not so fortunate. Please, she should give me the dust of her lotus feet, so I will be blessed with such eagerness to see the Lord. That was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction, that there is something beyond all the external considerations, but that can't be faked. That's not something concocted or artificial. He noticed this woman actually has lolium, eagerness, greed to see Krishna. Therefore, he didn't take it as an offense what she did. Nevertheless, the fact that she climbed on his shoulder and Govinda had to intervene brought Lord Chaitanya out of his ecstatic meditation on Lord Jagannath. What was Lord Chaitanya seeing? As I said, he was not actually seeing Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra. He was seeing the son of Maharaj Nanda. He was seeing Pitambara, the lord who wears the yellow cloth. He was seeing Murli Vadan, the lord who holds the flute and plays it. He was seeing the Tribhanga Sundar, the beautiful threefold bending form. That's what he was seeing. But the woman brought him out of that consciousness, even though he was praising her. And then when he looked back at Lord Jagannath to see Vrindavan Nath, the Lord of Vrindavan, he saw Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra. Now you might say, why would that be a down for him? Why would he lament? Because he no longer saw Vrindavan Nath. Lord Chaitanya is teaching the various levels of ecstasy in love of Krishna. So, he was not an Aishvarya devotee. He was not a devotee of the Lord in opulence. He was demonstrating how to be a confidential, intimate devotee of the Lord who simply wanted the sweetness of Vrindavan. So therefore, he was lamenting. Where am I? Am I in Kurukshetra? What's all this opulence around me? What's all this kingly majesty around me? Where is Vrindavan? Where is Vrindavan Nath? In this way, Lord Chaitanya is demonstrating how to feel separation from Krishna. Sometimes those feelings of separation would bring him into inconceivable states of consciousness and inconceivable bodily transformations. And he would describe them sometimes himself. He would be with Sarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy at night, staying up the whole night practically, absorbed in separation from Krishna. He would hang his arms around their necks and just pour out his heart. And they would know just how to deal with his emotions. Ramananda Roy was famous for reciting slokas, the exact ones that would match Lord Chaitanya's mood. And Sup Damodar Goswami was famous for singing songs that would match Lord Chaitanya's mood or take the moods in the right direction sometimes. Sup Damodar could actually steer the moods. He would think sometimes Lord Chaitanya was getting fatigued from being in ecstasy too long, so Sup Damodar would change the mood by reciting, by singing certain songs. Or other times he would deepen the mood of Lord Chaitanya, sending him deeper into ecstasy, into the internal state of consciousness by reciting. So, Lord Chaitanya would reveal what's going on with his mind and senses. We're very interested in mind and senses because through the mind and senses we either implicate ourselves in material life or spiritual life. Just take stock of what your mind and senses are doing. You'll see where you're at. So Mahaprabhu would let you know what's going on. He said, my mind is being tugged in five directions at once. The single mind is being pulled in five different directions, leaving me helpless. What's happening? My eyes are seeing the beautiful form of Krishna. My nose is smelling the beautiful fragrance of Krishna's body. My ears are hearing the sound of Krishna's flute, his singing, his joking words.
Then, with my tongue, I'm tasting the sweetness of Krishna. And my sense of bodily touch is feeling the touch of Krishna's body, which is more cooling than millions of moons. All my senses are overloaded by these different features of Krishna. I don't know how I can survive. Actually, Lord Chaitanya, under this ecstatic load of sensory overload in divine transcendence, went unconscious. All of his senses were totally overflowing with Krishna prema. The same thing is experienced by Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as a Supreme Enjoyer, when he enters the forest in Vrindavan. Another name for Krishna is Madhava, the husband of the goddess of fortune. That doesn't simply apply to Lakshmi Devi, because actually all the goddesses of fortune emanate from the gopis in Vrindavan. So Madhava also refers to Krishna in Vrindavan. Therefore, you can say Jai Radha Madhava. Madhava means spring, too. When Krishna enters the forest with the cows and Balaram, the forest knows Madhava is coming. He's the husband or the boyfriend of the dearest goddess of fortune. So Madhava also means spring. I'll become even more spring-like, more Madhava-like, in order to greet Madhava. So then, Krishna enters the forest. What does he see? The beauty of the Vrindavan forest stimulates his eyes. The smell of the flowers carried by the breeze stimulates his nose. The sound of the birds and bees in Vrindavan stimulates his ears. The breeze tastes so sweet. And then, because the breeze is carrying tiny droplets of water from the Jamuna, that stimulates the Lord's sense of touch. In this way, you can see how the senses have such a magnificent role, a key role in devotional service. They have the role. Sometimes we get a little stupid and in that we're wondering, what's the future for my senses in Krishna consciousness? For a long time now, I've been depriving my senses of the essential Kali Yuga delights. How long can I go on like this? When will I get some real absorbing sense activity? At those moments, Maya starts to preach to you. Right, now you finally understand. Your senses are hungry. You still need me, your old friend Maya. I can supply you with a lot of good stuff for your senses. You won't become a demon, don't worry. You can still believe in Krishna and have what I'm going to give you. The sense activity that Krishna wants to offer us in bhakti yoga is incomparable. Nothing in the material world compares to the sense experiences in devotional service. That is what Lord Chaitanya is demonstrating. You can also look at Dhruva Maharaj. When he saw the Supreme Lord, he said he felt like he was a dead man waking up, that all his senses were finally coming to life, whereas they had been sleeping before. So Dhruva Maharaj is showing us, you may think that you know your senses so well. That's generally the conceit we have, the pride we have. I know me. I know my senses. I know what kind of food satisfies my tongue. I know what kind of sensations will satisfy my touch. I know what kind of fragrances I like. I know what I like to see. We think we really know what our senses are about and what's good for them. Part of humility is to understand, I don't know about real sense activity. I don't know anything about it. Real sense activity is talked about by Dhruva Maharaj, who said, until I saw Krishna, I didn't know what my senses actually were meant for. They were actually asleep. I was a dead man. I recognize that now. But when I see Krishna, then my senses have completely come alive finally. Now I know what senses are meant for. So the Bhagavatam describes
how Dhruva, with his eyes, was drinking the bodily beauty of the Lord. Have you ever seen that anyone that beautiful in the material world that you just stare at them and drink up the beauty of their form with your eyes? You've never seen that kind of beauty. What about when Dhruva would constantly yearn to kiss the lotus feet of the Lord, the lotus toes of the Lord? Have you ever seen that kind of beauty in this world? Where you just wanted to fall at someone's feet and just kiss the tips of their toes continuously? Of course not. Therefore, we haven't seen real beauty. We haven't seen real love. What about the fragrance coming from Krishna's lotus feet? Have you ever seen someone so beautiful and with such a beautiful fragrance that all you wanted to do was just smell the fragrance from their lotus feet? No. This is practical. Krishna consciousness is practical. It's not, you know, airy fairy pie in the sky, you know, it's practical. You haven't seen real love. You haven't seen real beauty. Because you haven't seen anyone who you just want to kiss the tips of their toes nonstop. You haven't seen anyone for whom you just want to smell the fragrance of their feet nonstop. These things you haven't seen. But Dhruva Maharaj saw that. He saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then his senses were completely alive. He said, I was dead before. We should think about these things. They're not there just to incite curiosity in us. They're showing you these statements in the Shastra, these passages in the Shastra are showing you the future for your senses. It's all there. There's no problem seeing Krishna. Simply, it's a question of deepening the intensity of seeing the Lord. Now remember, how Srila Prabhupada said that the real question is not, can I see Krishna? But after you see Krishna, what will you do? And another angle is that Krishna is so easily visible. Our problem is we don't want to see Krishna. We think Krishna will spoil all the fun. He'll push us out of the enjoying situation we think we have. Just like criminals don't want to see the police. The lack, you know, or if you're, you know, a criminal who's breaking into someone's house to steal, a burglar, the last person he wants to see is the homeowner. The perfect situation for a burglar is no one's home and no neighbors are around. The last person the burglar wants to see is the homeowner. Similarly, for we burglars in the material world, the last person we actually want to see is Krishna. In spite of all our religiosity, our jnana yoga, our karma yoga, people don't want to see Krishna because he's the real thing. He's the real enjoyer. In order to actually see Krishna, we have to give up our false attempts to be the enjoyer. And then automatically, we'll see that Krishna's all around. But because of our illegal desires, because of our illegal program, we actually don't want to see Krishna. Just like if there's someone who does something better than you, you don't want to see that person. You don't want that person showing up, ruining all the attention you're getting, ruining all the praise you're getting. Similarly, we don't want Krishna to show up because we still want to be the center of everything. In this way, you can understand how Srila Prabhupada is explaining. There's actually not a problem in seeing Krishna. The problem is we don't want to see Krishna. We don't want Krishna showing up. Don't come to my party. Let us remember the Amrita Sindhu, the ocean of nectarian love of God, which overflows the high hills of the consciousness of Krishna's dearest devotees. This is the kind of tsunami that we want. And it is completely possible. Because even if we just get one drop of that Amrita Sindhu, that is enough to drown the whole world. In this way, we have such a great opportunity. Simply, we have to take it seriously in good association, and be a bit determined and patient, you will get this. It's a lifetime career, regardless of your ashram style. It's a lifetime career. Whether you're a grihastha, brahmachari, sannyasi, you're dealing with a lifetime career, how to see Krishna with love more and more. You take Krishna consciousness in that way, and Krishna will give you intelligence. Any questions? Yes?
Prabhupada writes that only a few people can be Krishna conscious, not everyone. Could you explain that and why?
What's the population of Los Angeles? 18 million. How many people are here? Huh?
Why can't everybody become Krishna conscious?
How many people live within the physical area of the New Dwarka community? Anyone know? How many, you know, those somehow they're connected to Krishna consciousness one degree or another, live in this? 200. All right. How many do you see here now? Huh? Maybe about 70. So once again, as Prabhupada said, the problem is not whether you can see Krishna, but the problem is you don't want to see Krishna. Think about things from that angle. It's very interesting. So Prabhupada's always giving these very unique insights that take a lot of time to think about. Some of these things I've been thinking about for 30 years. Still, I've got nowhere near the bottom of it. I don't expect to get to the bottom of it. Think about it. There's no problem in seeing Krishna. The problem is I don't want to see Krishna. Suppose I said, God is across the street. Would you like to see him? Yeah, I want to see God, of course. But we don't see that everyone feels that way. It's a question of eagerness. Just like the woman who climbed on Lord Chaitanya's shoulder and climbed on the Garuda Stamba. Lord Chaitanya praised her eagerness. Yes.
How do we increase our eagerness or
You increase your eagerness and greed to see Krishna by associating with devotees who have that eagerness. Don't imitate the woman in the Jagannath Puri temple. That's not the point. Just see, Devriya Swami gave a class and he said, just go for it. Run anywhere in the temple room because it's all about eagerness. No, that's not the point. The point was that this woman had, she was actually beyond the bodily platform. And just to demonstrate that point, Lord Chaitanya said, don't disturb her. She didn't offend me. Now, he didn't support what she was doing, but he accepted her attitude in this specific case. So, it's all about attitude, and attitude comes from association. You stay in good association, and you'll develop this eagerness. The New Dwarka community has always been, since the 70s when I lived here, a place where you'll find the best and you'll find... If you take guidance, you'll know how to stick with the best and you'll benefit so much. Anything else? Yes,
philosopher. You know, I have a particular point on it. It appears...
Yeah, on that particular point, it appears that, you know, the nature of the material world is such that it's very negative, and it's not a very positive place, especially in the viewpoint of a devotee, birth, death, old age, and disease. And, you know, just in the course of the execution of devotional service, there's so many impediments, you know, one's own mind, but to speak of... other circumstances that may arise unknowingly or knowingly. It appears that, you know, in devotional service, it's not an easy task, because if we read about, like, the Pandavas, for instance, their whole life was of extreme extremes. You know, it was either extremely ecstatic with a wonderful situation, or it was extremely a downer. You know, they were cast out, and then even when they came back, there was a Kurukshetra war, and then immediately after that war, almost immediately, they just left for the mountains and went back to Godhead. So it appears that their life wasn't really of so much joy and ecstasy. So I'm just wondering, you know, we're talking here about ecstasy and spiritual life, but when we read about the, you know, great devotees, there was a lot of misery going on.
Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching us how to see the realities of ecstatic love of God. Why did Queen Kunti say, Vipada Santita Shasva Tattata Chuchagadgur? Let these calamities happen again and again. Was she a masochist? Yeah. I want to suffer. No, she's saying, if calamities bring Krishna's presence, then let the calamities happen. We want Krishna. When there are so-called good times, then Krishna may go away. But when the Pandavas are going through so-called bad times, he's around all the time. So let there be the calamities. Because the real essence is our feelings for Krishna, our association with Krishna. Bhagavatam will train us to see that. Otherwise, we will get disturbed by the external vision of the external world. Tsunamis, earthquakes, economic collapses, bodily disease, crime, abuse, exploitation. Your own mind and body are exploiting you. On and on and on it goes. But there is another plane of reality that devotional service will train you to appreciate. That is love of Krishna. I was speaking to someone the other day about so-called falling in love, you know, the first experience of that. And you know, the devotee is explaining, yeah, it's like your head spins, you just see the whole world differently, just because you're so-called in love. You know, there are bells in the air, the breeze tastes differently, it's just like you wake up and it's a whole different universe. So that gives you some slight idea of what happens when you're actually Krishna conscious. You actually are dealing with a different reality. So when I gave that kind of example, then, oh yeah, I can understand.
Well, what if you feel that you're executing properly, but then again, like the material world, there's the waves of the ocean,
mm-hmm.
and it just keeps coming and coming and coming. And you just think to yourself, my God, when does it stop? I mean, like, is this what it is? I mean, is Krishna have something against me personally? I mean, what did I do? I'm executing, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. Well, what is it that it just keeps coming like wave after wave? And if it's not one particular person, it can be another person, or it can be a group of people. So, what about that one?
These things are driving us to Krishna. Therefore, if you let them carry you to the lotus feet of Krishna, then these things are actually serving their proper purpose. You run to Krishna. I can't take it anymore, Krishna, help. Krishna's waiting for that. Our main problem in Kali Yuga is that we have nothing to be proud of, but we're so proud. Have you noticed? We're so proud. I know what I'm doing. I know me. I know how to live my life. I'm a good person. That's Kali Yuga. But when these waves come, as you say, it makes the devotee humble. That Krishna, unless I take shelter of you more, I have no hope. When those waves come like that, you increase your association with devotees. You increase your attachment to the holy name. You increase the quality of your service. You have to know how to fight back. You get slugged by Maya, you slug back. It starts to get fun after a while. And then you experience a different reality. You experience that as long as I take shelter of Krishna, I'm safe. and you can never take shelter of Krishna enough. So you say the waves of Maya's attacks keep coming, but then Krishna's shelter is unlimited. You can go on and on and on, taking shelter of Krishna again and again. Krishna, I need more. I need more shelter. I need more of the holy name. More, more. And this way, you go back to Godhead. Anything else? Thank you very much. Glory to the Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.